Glad that he does. I'll guarantee you, y'all could hear Georgia when they said pain, couldn't you? We moved to Georgia. I had no idea that the Lord would ever move me. I told my wife when we were moving down there, I said, "You do realize our children are never going to talk right." We didn't stay long enough for it to affect everybody, but it got in some of them. It'll probably come out after a while. We're so glad for everyone that's here tonight. May the Lord richly bless you for being here, all of our friends and visitors that are in the house. I'm not going to try to call names either, because I would miss somebody and then somebody would feel bad at me. I've got a request back there in the sound room. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to put back up on that screen the chorus of that song that the choir just sang. Can you do that, brother? I always find it interesting. It is always, for me, I always attempt to, I don't have a book of sermons that I have and I come preach at a revival. I don't have a Monday night sermon and a Tuesday night sermon, and I just don't do that, and that's just not my way. I have to have the leading of the Holy Ghost. Hello? That's not what the choir sung, is it? That's what? Yeah. All right, I'm looking all over the place. God can do what? How many knows that for a fact? Some of us didn't hear me. Let's start over. God can do what? How many knows that for a fact? How many knows his word's true? How many believes he'll do what he said he'd do? How do you like that next line, though? He will break every chain. God can set some folks free. God can set just whoever he predestinates free. Oh, come on. God can set just a few of us free. Is that what it says? God can set who free? You. Everybody. Anybody. Doesn't matter what the case may be. He will give you, and here is a key word, he'll give you liberty. Hello? All you've got to do is just call on his name. I always attempt to have the will of God when I come to the pulpit, and I always like it when the Lord sanctions before I ever get in the pulpit what I have felt. And he did that. He did that through that song, especially the second verse. I'm sure he's got it back there. But in that second verse where it talks about the demons of hell, in hell they all tremble at the mention of his name. Does anybody else believe that in here? Hello? I felt the Spirit of God here. Has anybody else? I also feel the spirit of the enemy. I do. I feel him. I feel him, but I am not afraid of him. I have heard people say, "Well, don't challenge the devil." Well, why in the world not? He challenges us every time we turn around. He messes with us all the time. Why not challenge him? Are we afraid of him? If I'm full of Jesus and the demons in hell tremble at the power of his name, then what in the world am I afraid of? Can you say amen? Luke chapter 8, verse number 26. Very familiar story. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then with the devils out of the man, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was healed that was possessed. Or by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship, and he returned back again. Mark chapter 9, two scriptures there. Mark chapter 9, verse number 28. When he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." This kind can come forth by nothing. Not good worship, not high shouting, not good choir singing, hello? Not through a program. There is absolutely nothing that can get this spirit out but by prayer and fasting. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you for the Spirit of God that we have already felt in this house. I am asking you tonight, God, would you touch my lips of clay? Would you let the Holy Ghost anointing fall on me now? Move in this congregation in Jesus' name and give us a move of the Holy Ghost around these altars in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord richly bless you for honoring the Word of God. This story has great highs that I read to you out of Luke. It has great highs, and it also has extreme lows. A low place is that the devil can so get a hold of a man that he can live like this man was living. I heard a preacher preach one time from that, and I'll never forget it. It was really elementary, but the Spirit of God got in it so. Where in the Bible it talks about going to the doorpost and letting that awl be pierced through your ear and you to make an announcement to the world that I love my master and I don't want to leave. And I heard a man preach one morning on I love my master. I'll never forget it. And he talked about the difference of how God treated him and how the devil treated him. And it's night and day. That's why it's so unbelievable to me how that men go back into that same world that they came out of when they got treated so bad while they was there. It doesn't make much sense, does it? But some way that's in human nature to do such things. Can you say amen? And this man here, he's roaming the tombs. He's uncontrollable. He has a misfit in society. He is an outcast. And these spirits, the Bible said, they would tear him. Now, this is something that a lot of times today people don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about spirits. Part of the reason we don't want to talk about spirits in the church house is because most folks know they're not as full of God as they need to be, and it scares them to think that the devil might get stirred up. That's just the truth of the matter. Another reason we don't like to talk about things like this or demonic forces is because there is a natural fear in most people of something that they do not understand. When I don't understand it, I don't know, and especially when we it's something that we cannot control. We want to veer away from it, and sometimes we want to act like it's not there and act like that's not going to happen or that doesn't happen. But I've got to tell you, we are dealing with more demonic forces right now in America than we've ever dealt with before. I believe the Bible bears that out. You know, I remember just as a child, I've been listening to preaching, and I have probably heard as much or more preaching than anybody in the house tonight, including the old folks. Because you see, most all of my life growing up, we went to church about 300 nights out of the year, and so I've heard a lot of preaching. Really, Brother Steve, I ought to be so holy from all the preaching I've heard, I get caught up like Elijah in a whirlwind. But some reason it didn't get on me that good some of the time. But I remember from just a child, Brother Hurst, listening to preachers preach, listening to my mother's preach, that in the last, when my mother preached that in the last days, that there was going to be spirits let loose on the earth. I believe the Bible bears that out, that God was going to let loose spirits on the earth, and they was going to do things to men, and they were going to cause men to do things. They were going to be exceptionally evil, vile, and wicked spirits. I heard them preach that way since I was a child, back 25 years ago. I remember that kind of preaching. The sad thing about it is today we're living right now in that time. I can't preach to you about a day when those spirits are going to be let loose. I'm living in the very day when those spirits are let loose. They are let loose on the earth. Can you say amen? And I'm going to tell you, I remember a time when people came to the altar that, you know what, when they had troubles and they had problems. I remember a time when people got saved and God had to do things in their life like he had to do in everybody else's. But now I'm going to tell you, when people come to the altar, they are bound by things that boggle my mind. Give me some monitor, brother. You killed me there for a minute. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. We're living in a day when the church, we want to shout, I'm for it. Hello? If you don't believe it, you weren't here last night. I'm for it. I believe in it. I'll do it. Matter of fact, I may do it before you do. Probably will. I made the statement of my church when I was pastoring in Georgia, I want my children to say that my dad shouts more than anybody I know. Not because I'm up here just shouting, but because I've got something to shout about and I don't have any condemnation, so let me shout hallelujah. Kind of reminds me of Granny Walls back in Oklahoma. Granny Walls was 112 years old, and she still walked to the house of God and still lived by herself, and she still made her own clothes. You know what Granny Walls did every time she come to church? Whether you did or not. One night a young man showed up and he said, he preached that night, young whippersnapper got up and he preached, it's not all in the shout. When he sat down, I don't believe in women rebuking men, but when you're 112 years old, you can do about anything you want to.
And Granny Walls got up and she said, "Listen, I don't know what it is that we're needing to do to get the shout back, but let's get it out of the way and get back to shouting." Well, that's not flying too high. But here's what she said. She said, "I got the Holy Ghost when I was 10 years old. She said, I've had it over 100 years, and it gets better all the time." Amen, amen. I believe that when God can deliver a man and a woman, I don't believe it has to be for just a day or two. I don't believe it just has to last as long as you feel good. I believe when God breaks the chains up of men and women, that God can break the chains. Amen. Of sin off of their life and they can stay free. I don't believe we've got to go back to the weak and beggarly elements of this world, and I still believe that there is power available to the church today that we can pray and men can be delivered from the demonic forces that have them bound in their mind. I still believe the blood of Jesus has the power to reach to the highest mountain and to flow to the lowest valley. I still believe the name of Jesus makes the devil a tremble in his boots.
Jesus shows up. This guy's out here. He's stark raving mad. Hello? He's going naked. He's crazy. That's what happens when you go naked. You're crazy. Amen. America's went crazy. I hate going to the mall. I hate malls anyway. I'd rather go to the Deer Woods. I understand you'd rather go to the mall. I understand that. I go to the mall. It's a comedy show for me. I look at how stupid everybody looks. Hello? People come walking by, they've got 13 earrings in their ears, 3 in their nose, 5 in their lip, and God wouldn't even permit me to say where all else they might have one. And you know what? And they look at me sitting there like I'm crazy. Listen to me, y'all might as well help me preach a little bit tonight. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's a spirit that's got in the world. Amen, amen. I said that we're not crazy. They're crazy. They are being driven by spirit. Hey, somebody ought to say amen. I said they're being driven by spirit. The Bible said this man, that the spirits would tear him. All of a sudden he'd be all right. One minute he'd be normal. And the next minute you didn't know what happened to him. His spirit would get on him. He'd go crazy. Amen. What do you think made that young man walk in that school in Ohio? It wasn't just because he is depressed. We've all been depressed a time or two. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the spirit of the enemy that's got inside of people. We're dealing with a generation that's possessed of the devil. Somebody ought to say amen. I said they're possessed of the devil. I believe it's about time that the church of the living God stands up and says, "I'll tell you something. I can't take a heart that's broken. It over again, but I know a man who can. I know somebody that has the power. I know somebody that can deliver you." I want to preach tonight on, do you want him to leave? You thought I was through and I just gave my title, aren't you? Aren't you tore up? Do you want him to leave? We were driving. I was with a preacher friend of mine in Oklahoma. And he lives right on the line in Oklahoma and Arkansas. He lives up north of me about an hour. And we were driving over on the Arkansas side one day and he said, we get right out here. He said, there's a house right out here on the corner. He said, we drive by. He said, ain't no telling what that guy's law would be doing. I said, oh yeah? What do you mean? He said, well, sometimes he's standing out in the yard and has no clothes on at all. He said, I have drove by and
He was mowing the yard and had ladies' underclothes on. Hello? He said, you know, no telling what you're liable to see him doing. I remember that day we drove by and the guy was standing in the door of his house. He was just standing there looking at traffic go by, and he didn't have a stitch of clothes on to his name. I'll never forget what that preacher said as we passed by that house. He said, those spirits are tearing him today. Those spirits that are in him today, they're tearing him. They're making him act outside of what is normal. We are dealing with a generation that is not acting normal. Come on now. It ain't normal for a mama to want to kill her baby in her belly. Y'all might as well help me. Preacher, you may close me out after this one. Listen to me. That's not normal. It's not normal. I walked in a Pizza Hut, and Sister Darla, she's after, we've been married right at 17 years, and after that amount of time, she's getting kind of used to me at this point, but used to, she wasn't real sure. Still sometime that way, probably. We're standing there in line to check out at a Pizza Hut, and there's a guy standing in front of him, and he's got a big ring about that big around hung in his nose. Big old brass looking deal. The guy in front of me said, "Hey, dude, does that hurt?" And the guy turned around, "No." I couldn't help myself, Brother Steve. I said, "That's what we do to the pigs, keep them from rooting under the fence." Come on now, that's not normal. Hey, y'all might as well help me just a little bit. It's not normal. Oh God, help me, Jesus. It's not normal that America is entranced with witchcraft and Harry Potter and Twilight and vampires and blood. Y'all might as well help me here just a little bit. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's the spirit of hell. That's got into America. There's not good and bad vampires, buddy. They're all bad. They're all evil. Somebody ought to say amen up in this house. I ought to tell you something, but the devil has crept in, and Hollywood is completely consumed. You might as well say amen with casting spells and witches. Hey, brother, I come to tell you, I know somebody that's got real power. He said, "My Father gave me all power. Power in heaven and in earth." I know somebody that can deliver your soul. Great God Almighty. There's some things about this story I don't know, and you don't either. I don't know how old this fellow was when this happened to him. I do know that from the story I read to you in Mark, that the one there was just a child. And the Bible says the same thing, those spirits would tear him. You ever been in a grocery store and seen that happen? And you know what we say? It's because of the way we've been raised. Somebody ought to beat that kid half to death, bless God. Oh, come on. Bless God, if that was my kid, I'll tell you what I'd do. We'd go outside. I'm going to tell you, it's a little more complicated than that. One whipping is not going to help anything. What has happened is we've let things into our homes and into our schools. Y'all might as well say amen. And our children have been involved in things that something's got a hold of them. It's going to take more than a whipping, brother. Hey, man, somebody ought to say amen. They don't need a whipping. They need somebody that's got the power to say, "I plead the the blood of Jesus. Amen, amen. They need somebody that's got the power to say, you know what I did? I've been a fasting and I've been a praying. And I say in the name of Jesus, be loose in Jesus' name.
Hello. This man comes running up and he falls down. The man himself did not recognize who Jesus was. He would have had no idea who he was. But those spirits inside of him knew exactly who that was. Jesus, hey, come on now. Jesus, thou Son of God. Amen.
Even the devil's got more sense than to be oneness. Amen. Jesus, thou Son of God of the Most High. You might as well say amen. Hallelujah. Fell right down there on his knees and said, listen, don't torment us before our time. Do you realize the devil knows every word in this book? Do you realize he knows exactly where he's going? Do you realize he knows he's going to land in torment after a while? Is there anybody here? That's why the word of God said Satan had come down having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time to work. But I'm going to tell you, while he's a working, it seems like the church is a playing. But wouldn't it be better if we were praying? Wouldn't it be better if we was getting full? Y'all might as well help me of the power of God.
The spirit talks. There was a lot of times that Jesus wouldn't allow them to talk and tell them to shut up. Hello? We are so spiritually inept and blinded in our churches today that I have literally watched people come to the altar that was possessed of the devil, and people gather around them trying to pray them through to the Holy Ghost because they didn't understand why they was gyrating and jumping around like that. I've seen it.
And if you tell them they need delivered, they'll get mad at you. I'm preaching tonight on, do you want him to leave? Hello? No, spirit said, look, no, don't torment us for a time, you know, don't send us. What they were really saying is, don't send us into hell and chain us there. Let us go somewhere else. There's a bunch of pigs over there, and let us go into the swine. I kind of thought what one preacher said was funny. He said, ain't it funny? The first thing them pigs did when they got full of the devil is they went to the beach. Well, I don't know about all that. But anyway, they drowned in the sea. Can you say amen? They drowned it in the sea. But you know what? All of a sudden, this man that had been uncontrollable, this man that nobody wanted in society, this man that had really been no good to anybody, this man that everybody avoided, this man that the mama scared their children with, and said, if you get out of the yard, so-and-so's going to get you. Y'all might as well say amen. This man that had been unworthy, it looked like of anything, there was a man stepped up in his life and said, hey, I've got all power in heaven and in earth. And when Jesus got through, brother, the word of God said he was clothed and he in his right mind. I come to tell you, that's what happened when I got saved. He put me in my right mind.
And I've heard people say, well, you know, these folks wanted him to leave because he messed up their pig growing business. That's not true. Because the Bible says that the entire country of the Gadarenes asked him to depart. Let me tell you what's sad about that.
They were more comfortable with a man possessed of the devil than they were of a delivering Christ. Did you hear what I just said? They were more comfortable dealing with a man that was possessed of the devil than they were dealing with a delivering Christ who had the ability to loose men. I'm preaching tonight. Do you want him to leave? Come on now. We like the shouting. We like the singing. We like it when we feel goosebumps. We like it when the power is high and the octane's running and the adrenaline's pumping. Come on here now. And the RPMs are high. But I'm going to tell you, brother, that's not going to deliver anybody. You might as well, I hope I don't offend you, but there's places that'll have better music than we got. They may have better singers than we got. Somebody might as well say amen. They may have a prettier auditorium and a better program, but I'm going to tell you that's not what gets it done. Jesus said, I'll tell you something, there's only one thing that'll give you power. You gotta pray, and you gotta fast, and you gotta agonize before God, before you see real revival. Preacher, I can't fast from food. I get sick. Well, wah, wah. But maybe you do have a physical problem. I'll give you that. Maybe you do have. There's people that have sugar, and there's people that have chemical imbalances that if you don't eat food, you've... But listen, why don't you just not get on your computer for about a week? Huh? Why don't you just not text anybody for about a week? Hello? Why don't you type in God's phone number and send him one about every 5 minutes? Oh, it's going to get tight in here now. We want God to do things the way we want them done. But God said, if you're going to get this kind out, you're going to have to do it my way. I'm going to tell you there is no substitute for prayer. Can somebody say amen? There is no sub. Y'all might as well help me. There is no substitute for prayer. There's no substitute for getting on your knees and saying, oh God, I've got to have power. I'm living in a world that's full of the devil, and I've got to be full of God. I'm going to tell you the devil is possessing this world, and we are needing a church that is possessed by the power and the Holy Ghost of God. It is the only antidote that will work. Woo! You know what our problem is? We are so time oriented. We got to talk about it today. It's kind of funny. My wife's very organized. She's very organized. I am not organized at all. Just don't mess with my stuff. I know where it's at. Don't move it. Hallelujah. She gets up in the morning and says, what's on your agenda today? Because she's got hers all wrote out. And I get up saying, whatever I feel like doing. Come on now. Hey. But listen. There's some things we're going to have to organize in. Hello? Because if you want to do prayer like that, you know what? You just won't pray. And you know what? Everything's got to be done just right. And I learned pretty early on in our marriage that if I was going to mess with her schedule, I was going to have to deal with the consequences of messing with her schedule. Luckily, over time, we worked it out. And she's come my way, and I've come hers. Hallelujah. I hope you'll help me right here. But I'm going to tell you, we are so time oriented. We've got things so timed out that we have timed our time for God out. Come on now. We've never had an age when we are more in touch with everything, when we're more out of touch with heaven than we are right now. I can say something in the pulpit, and before I get out, I'll get a text from somebody in California over what I said while I was preaching. Y'all might as well say amen. I'm going to tell you, but the problem is most of the time, it'll be if you goof up. It's never, man, we had 14 get saved tonight. Oh, y'all might as well come on and help me just a little bit. I'm going to tell you, it's about time we realize where our priorities are at. There's only one thing that'll bring revival that will stay. Hey, brother, that is prayer and fasting. I said it is prayer and fasting.
But here's our problem. If God does not do it in our space, our capsule, if you can't do it in this little bit of time, God, that I've got set aside for you, I don't know why you didn't do it then, God. Years ago, my dad started Christian school at home. I feel like I'm boring you, but oh well, I'll preach it out and maybe I won't be boring to you again. But listen, phone rung one night and my mother picked up the phone. It was about midnight and they'd been asleep for a little while and she groggily said hello. On the other end, Sister Opaly Shaw said, "Shirley?" And my mother said, "Oh, Sister Opaly." She said, "Did you get my letter?" It didn't dawn on my mother. She was half asleep. She had just mailed it that morning. There's no way it could have got there. And then she said, "Oh, I just mailed that this morning." And Sister Opaly said, "Ben?" He was on the other phone. I wouldn't call him that. That's what she called him. "Ben, I told you if they were on our mind like that we were on their mind." Brother Ben got on the phone with my dad and he said, "Brother Freddie, will y'all come start me a revival?" And Dad said, "Brother Ben, we've started this Christian school, and I can't come start a revival." And he said, "Well, you let Sister Shirley come." And Dad said, "Well, she's never preached a revival away from me since we've been married." And he said, I don't really know what I think about that. And Brother Ben said, "Just pray about it." And my dad said, I hung up the phone, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. So we got in the car, and we made that 300-mile trip down to Falk, Arkansas, and they started revival. But before that revival started, there were some people in that church that got all stirred up. Brother Terry and Sister Yvonne Coker, there's some people here who know who that is. Brother Terry and Sister Yvonne Coker was over the children's church, and Sister Yvonne said, "You know, you kids, and y'all have pep rallies at school, don't you? How many of y'all's ever been to a pep rally? Raise your hand." I don't care. I don't care if it was 80 years ago. Just raise your hand. You've been to a pep rally. Some of us want to, we've been saved so long, we want to act like we're super holy sometimes. She said, "I feel like us having a pep rally up in here." All right. She said, "Here's what I want us to do. I want us to chant, 'We want revival. We want revival.'" And them little kids got to chanting that every Sunday, and they got to going home saying it. And mama got to saying, "We want." And there's some people later testified, we'd be washing the dishes and we'd catch ourselves going, "We want revival. We want revival." And Dad said, "I'd be driving down the road to work. I'd catch myself saying, 'We want revival.'" But I'm going to tell you, it takes more than a chant, brother. There was some people in that church that got to praying. Sister Pauline Tip Taylor's husband told Brother Ben, said, I have been timing her praying 8 hours at a time in our cellar for a move of the Holy Ghost. Y'all might as well hear me preach tonight. Brother, it's going to take more than our little devotion time. It's going to take somebody getting down on their knees and saying, "I'm willing to push back the plate. I'm willing to inconvenience myself, and I'm willing to get full of the power of the Holy Ghost."
They got to having revival. I'll never forget it, even as a young child. I've never been a mama's boy. Just not me. And I love my mother, but just that's not my turn. And if you are, that's nothing against you. I meant nothing bad by that. But, when you're 6 years old and you don't see your mama all week, you're ready to see your mom.
And me and Dad on Friday evenings would get in the car. And 300 miles when you're six seems like from here to California. We'd make that trip down there, and we would get there, Brother Hurst, about 8:15 to 8:45, depending on what we had run into. And most of the time, my mother would be up preaching. And I was just a little guy, and I can remember I'd run into that church, and the way the church was set up, there was an entrance to the nursery, and the window was just like that. You couldn't see in it, and it was kind of high. And I'd run in there, and I'd get a stool, and I'd put it up under that window because I was too short to see out of it. And I'd look out of that window, and I'd watch my mom preach. Come on now, just a little bitty boy. I knew who was saved. I'd gone to church all of my life. I knew who the sinners were. I'll never forget this. I'm talking about praying till you have a move of God, and the devil backs up. My God, I feel like preaching. See, God, one night I ran in there. I was 6 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. I ran in there, pulled my little stool up, and looked. My mother was standing on the platform preaching. She was preaching on "Take Your Shoes Off. You're on holy ground." I looked down at the end of the front pew, and there was piles of shoes in the floor. I looked at the third pew, and there was piles of shoes in the floor. But I knew the old sinner sat right underneath me, Brother Hurst. And I looked down there, and them old sinner men had their shoes off, and they was sitting out there in the floor. And that night when she gave the altar, I watched them old sinner men walk the aisle in their socks to get saved. You say that don't happen? Oh yes, it does. When somebody prays, I said, when somebody prays, y'all ain't with me. I said, when somebody prays, until the devil backs up.
Sister Pauline got shouting. That lady had been praying 8 hours at a time. She wasn't the only one praying. She got to shouting one night. She shouted all the way down the aisle. She shouted up on the platform. She didn't know how to play a ham bone, boy. But she sat down at that organ and played some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. I heard it. I heard music straight out of heaven. It's exactly where it came from.
In the middle of that, Brother Maggard, she stopped and she said, it was Saturday night. She said, in the morning at 11:14, so-and-so is going to walk through those doors and walk down this aisle and get saved. Now the person she named, nobody even knew where they was at or if they was in the country. That person hadn't been there one time to that meeting. Nobody had seen him, and they didn't know when. You want to know how to get your whole Saturday night crowd there on time Sunday morning? That'll do it, buddy. I'm telling you, we got to have in church, but everybody was watching the door and the clock. I was there at 11:14. The door opened up, and that man walked through the door, and he walked straight down the aisle. He didn't wait on an invitation, and he fell down at the altar, and he got saved. Why? Somebody had prayed too and got a hold of the power of God. I tell you, that's still possible. I said that is still possible right now today.
Our problem is we are so bound in our prayers by the circumstance surrounding those that we are praying for. Some of y'all didn't get that. We are so bound in our prayers for our lost loved ones because all we can see is what they're bound by. All we can see is the chains. All we see is the addictions. All we see is how messed up the devil's got their life. And when we get down to pray, our prayers are so hindered by their situation. Oh, I'm butting heads with the devil, but I'll make him sick in a minute. Listen to me. There's an old lady. They's having church, and they decide to have day services, and that's a real iffy thing. And this evangelist and said there wasn't many people coming. They wasn't having much of a move of God. Didn't seem like in the day services, but said one day that they all gathered in there, and those that come said it wasn't much more than a bunch of old elderly sisters, and said they got in there, and the preacher said, "Well, let's just gather around and have a time of prayer." So, do you have anything to pray for? Yes, blah, blah, blah. Do you have anything? Yeah. Finally, they come around this old sister, and she looked at them. This is what she said. She said, "Preacher, I'm an old lady now." And she said, "All of my children are saved, but one of them." She said, "I passed him a while ago. He was in the field up the road plowing." She said, "I passed him. He's plowing in that field." And she said, "I told God, God, I'm going to that church today. And I'm going to get down at that altar. And I'm not getting up till I die or he gets saved." You know what a bunch of us have done? Woo! She needs wisdom. They knelt down and started praying. They prayed a pretty good while. All the church folks got up and said, "11 o'clock came. She's still down praying. 12 o'clock came, she's still down praying." Hello? The preacher said, me and the evangelist got up, sat down at the seat, and my wife was there, and we just sat there, and they said, "What are we going to do?" Said the old lady, "It fell over in the floor." Said, "You could hear her groaning. She is a praying for God to save it, old boy." He said, "What do you think we ought to do? Think we ought to get her up?" That evangelist said, "I ain't touching her. I don't leave her alone." He said, 1 o'clock rolled around, she's still laying there on the floor. We're sitting there on the pew with her head down. He said, about 1:45. He said, "I heard the door open up." He said, "I turned around and looked," and he said, "Standing in the door was a big old man in overalls that had plow dirt all over him." Said that man walked down the aisle and knelt down beside that old lady and rubbed her arm. And he said, "Mama, you can get up now. I got saved while I go out there in the field. I come to tell you there's still power." I said, "There's still power in prayer. There's power that'll make hell tremble. There's power that'll make the devil back up. There is power that will deliver men from the condition that they are in." Can somebody say amen?
You don't understand, preacher. You don't understand how messed up they are. I preached a message. I'm not going to preach it right now. Some of y'all's wanting to leave so bad you can't stand it. I'm not going to preach it right now. I preached a message from this passage of Scripture not long ago on the undesirable convert. It wasn't a mayor's boy that got saved. Huh? It wasn't the chief of police. It wasn't the high priest backslid boy. It was that crazy man out there from the tomb. But Jesus said, "I came to seek and save." And I came to tell somebody tonight, I don't care how far or where you've been, God can deliver you. You know why? Because I'm not boasting. I am not boasting. But I've been praying and I've been fasting. Come on now. Every once in a while, you got to be able to say that. Come on here now. My old granddad was dying of tuberculosis. He went out to the outhouse. He come out of there in a fit of that coughing, got a hold of him. Brother Maggard, he went to spitting and coughing up blood. And he leaned up against the side of that house. And he said, "God, I preach your gospel all over this country from one end to another. I prayed for people and they got healed. I've lived right. I'm not sinning, God. I don't know why you won't heal me." And God healed him right there. Hey, brother, it's about time the church gets some boldness because they know they prayed through and because they know they prayed and fasted till hell backed up.
Oh, but preacher, you don't know them, preacher. You don't know them. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they've done. There was a preacher one night preaching in a large church. I may lose all my composure here. He was preaching in a big church. Back on the back seat, there was a young lady sitting back there. All by herself, nobody else sitting on the pew but her. She had a little baby in her arms. Preacher was a young guy. He was an old man when I heard him tell about this. He said, I was young, said I didn't know anything to do but get up there and holler, Jesus loved you, and cry a whole bunch. That's all I knew how to do. He said, when I started to give that altar call, said the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, go tell that young lady that I love her. He said, I turned around to the preacher and I gave him the microphone, said, you give the invitation. And said, that lady had got her baby and said she had started out of the church and down the steps. And he said, I ran fast as I could down the aisle, ran out on the steps, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and she turned around. And he said, lady, I don't know who you are. Or he said, lady, he said, God sent me to tell you that he loves you. She said, sir, you don't know who I am. He said, I don't care who you are. He said, the Holy Ghost told me up there in the pulpit to come here and tell you that he loves you. She said, but preacher, I'm the worst girl in this county. She said, you don't know how many of those men in that church that I've slept with. She held that little baby out and she said, I've slept with so many men that I don't even know who his daddy is. He said, when people, she said, when, that's why nobody sat back there. They're afraid of catching some social disease off of me and they won't even sit by me back there in church. He said, lady, I don't care about all that. He said, God told me to tell you that he loved you. She said, but preacher, I can't go up there to that mourner's bench. He said, you don't have to. He said, an altar is wherever you meet God. And these steps right here are just fine. He said, I turned around and looked at a woman standing there, an old lady. So there were some elderly women that had come out there. And he said, they were standing there. And I told that lady, take this woman's baby. And said, she drew back like that baby had some kind of plague. He said, I've always treated elder people like I was supposed to. But he said, it aggravated me. And he said, I said, hold that baby, I said. He said, she reached out and grabbed that baby like it was her favorite grandchild. He said, come to think of it, it might have been. He said, she fell down on them steps. And she said, oh God, I've been wicked. I've been sinful. I'm not even worth saving, God. But he said, right out there on that step, he came to set the captive. Is there anybody in here? Would you help me with that? He came to set the captive. Oh, you can do better than that. He came to set the captive. And he whom the Son hath made is free indeed. I don't care where they're at, who they are, what devil has them bound. I don't care what they look like. Hey, I come to tell you I know a God that can deliver them. I'm almost through. That man said years later, he said, I was preaching a meeting in a municipal auditorium. He said, after the service, I came off the platform. Said, I was standing there talking to some of the preacher brethren. He said, I noticed out of the corner of my eye there was a very classy lady standing there, very well dressed, very classy, very stylish. She was standing there and said there was a man standing beside her. Said he was very stylish, very well dressed, suit and tie. Said they both had Bibles under their arm, shoes shined. He said, I'm telling you, they was classy looking. He said, I could tell they was waiting to talk to me. He said, when I turned from the preacher, brother, and I looked at them, and I looked at that lady, and I said, lady, are you waiting to speak to me? And she said, yes, sir. She said, preacher, did you ever pray with a lady on the steps of a church? That preacher said, yeah. She said, I'm that lady. That preacher said, you had a little baby wrapped up in a blue blanket, didn't you? She put her arm around that man standing beside her. She said, this is that little boy.
Amen.
Said, he's assistant pastor in our church.
Thank you, Lord.
Shandarararararararaya. I got news for you. I want that spirit to stay among us. I said, I want that spirit to stay among us. Whatever I got to do for him to stay. Whatever I got to do for him to draw men. Hey, y'all might as well say amen. I don't want that spirit to leave. We've got to have it. It's all that sets us apart. We need him to stay. Can somebody say amen in this house? Woo! Ela Moshe, I did it. I ran on a mahakai out of a Hosea. Woo! Oh, but preacher, I'm afraid of what people might think about the way folks look. I'm not worried about it. I told them when I pastored in Jersey, Georgia, I want our church to have more tattoos in it than any other church. Hey, come on now. Are you hearing me? I want us to have more people saved. I want us to have more former drug addicts than any other church there is. Why? He came to set the captive free. And if me and you will fast and pray, I lost some of y'all right there. But if me and you had fasted and prayed, God will deliver men and women today. Brother Maggard, you don't have any idea how many times I've had young people walk up to me and somebody say, this is one of the young preachers in our church. And they go, Brother Anthony, don't you recognize me? Always makes me feel kind of stupid. I would say, I'm sorry. Don't you remember at youth camp? That little boy that was so bound at the altar. Come on now. Woo. Come on now. And he set me free. And he delivered me. And here I am. And let me introduce you to my wife. And these are my little children. Come on now. I come to tell you something. I don't know about y'all at Union Road, but I know one thing. I gotta have that spirit. I gotta have that Holy Ghost. I gotta have that moving. I'm gonna tell you what, you're gonna have to have it in this day and this hour. Because when men and women come to the altar, brother, they're bound by hell. They're bound by addictions. But brother, I don't have the power, but I know somebody that does. Amen, amen. I said, I know somebody that does, and he'll give us the power. I said, he'll give us the power if we're willing to fast and pray. Do you want him to leave? Hello, I'm asking a question here. Do you want him to leave? I can't imagine it. They looked at him and they asked him to leave They did not demand it. They didn't demand it. Do you notice that? They had a fear of him. They did not demand him. They asked him. Leave. You know what the Bible said? He got on a ship and departed. Do you want him to stay? Are you here? I said, do you want him to stay? Do you need that power in your life? What have you been doing to have it? I said, what have you been doing? I want to ask you a question. How long? Can I ask you a question, Brother Hurst, before I close? How long have you been announcing this revival? A week? A month? 2 months? 3 maybe? 3 months. Just take that. 3 months. You've known this revival was coming. How much fasting and praying have you done that men and women would be delivered in these altars? No. I'm not talking about your 15 minutes when you pray about God and everything else around. I'm talking about how many minutes and hours and days have you fasted and prayed that there would be delivering power in this house? I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm asking you so you look inside yourself. Now tell me, do you want him to leave? Has your actions made it seem like he was not welcome? Oh, but preacher, I raised my hands. Well, good. A lot of people does that. They've done that all over the place. The Muslims did today. It mean nothing. But did you fast and pray until you knew there was going to be deliverance in this meeting? Oh, it's quiet now. Do you want him to stay? Aren't you tired of people making one trip to the altar and praying and then you don't see them anymore? Is there anybody beside me sick of that? Are you sick of seeing men come to the altar and coming for a week or two and then they're gone and you don't ever see them anymore? And we say, well, bless God, they just must not have wanted to real bad. Maybe the shoe was on the other foot. Maybe we hadn't fasted and prayed enough. But when they knelt down there, we could lay hands on them and the Spirit get out of them. Well, everybody in the house stands right now. We need a delivering power of God. I said God is still able to deliver. I want these folks to sing right here. Listen to me. But I tell you, God still has the power to do it. If there is a people that is willing to call on his name. Is there anybody here? Listen. They're going to sing just a second, but listen right here. Is there anybody here, while every head is bowed, that you would be man enough and woman enough as a Christian to admit, I have not put in the time to have the power, but I want to, and you'd get out of your pew and come to this altar? That's all there is to it. It won't be a bunch of screaming and hollering trying to get you down here. I've already preached the message. You've already heard it. I'm just asking you. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Sing when you're ready. I'm telling you, the power of God is still able to deliver men and women. There is still a real power that will deliver men and women. That's right.
His word is true.
Oh yes. Oh, I tell you what, we need a revival of righteousness. We need a revival where men that are bound are loose.
God can set you free, no matter what the case might be. He'll give you liberty.
Oh, preacher, I thought you was going to make a message that would make us all want to shout. I tell you, I'd rather have a message that made us all want to pray. I said a message that made us want to pray. A message that made us want to get down and beg God to have mercy. Oh, somebody that'll get down.
You break every chain.
Woo!
God can set you free. No matter what the case might be, He'll give you liberty. Just call on His name.
We've got so busy that we forgot that God is wanting our undivided attention. Sing it.
He'll do what He said He'll do. He'll break every chain. God can
set you free.
No matter what.
Do you have lost loved ones you want to see God save? There's the ingredient. This kind cometh not out but by prayer.